People can be really bad at talking to veterans, especially combat veterans. We get awkward. We freeze up. We say, thank you for your service. But then what? As part of our series, Beyond the Battlefield, we talked with lots of vets about these awkward interactions. Before we talk with someone who knows how civilians can do better, let's hear from a couple of vets.
My name is Brendan Lejeune. I was in the United States Marine Corps, and I served in Fallujah, Iraq in 04, 05, and 06.
So my name is Sherman Powell. I served in the U.S. Army from 1995 to 2006 as an officer for the majority of my career.
We are asked inappropriate questions so very often. As an example, this happened to me just a few weeks ago with a person I worked with. It came out that I was a veteran. The very first question they asked was, oh, so you must have post-traumatic stress now. And I know it wasn't meant to be rude. It was just that's the image that they're given of us in the media and movies and television shows.
It's funny. The interactions usually go as follows. The individual stops what they're doing and says, oh, thank you so much for your service. And then they kind of freeze up and they don't know what else to say. And so I kind of have to move the conversation forward myself and say, you know, no problem. It was my pleasure. And then we just move on to the next thing quickly.
You know, the most intrusive question is that gets asked more than you would believe. So have you killed anyone? Just all the time, which is an incredibly rude question.
From 8 or 9 years ago until today, there's been a bit of a change in the sense that we were treated almost like celebrities, almost like rock stars. And now I think a lot of people think, oh, gosh, I feel so bad for you. You must be this poor, helpless, damaged thing, and I'm gonna offer you my deepest sympathies, and I don't know what else to say to you.
Aaron Smith is with us now to help shed some light on how we talk to vets and how we should talk. She's a psychologist with the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. Really good to have you with us, Aaron.
Thank you.
Why is it, do you think, people sometimes have that feeling of awkwardness or not knowing what to say when they meet someone and find out, for instance, you know, I served in Fallujah? Mm-hmm. Why do we have that awkwardness?
Well, I think sometimes it's a novel situation. People haven't met anyone who served in combat before. And when you're in a novel situation, you might not know exactly what to say. I also think that as part of our larger culture is the awareness of the way the Vietnam veterans were treated and some of the negative experiences they had when they came back from combat. With that awareness, people don't really know what to say or are concerned about maybe possibly offending a veteran by saying something. I also think it's awkwardness on the part of the veteran sometimes, because their experiences can be that people have asked questions or that they're concerned that people might ask questions that are emotionally upsetting for them or distressing. So when something's kind of the largest thing in your mind, the most emotionally salient part of what you're dealing with, it might be the first thing that comes to your mind. So even if someone asks a pretty neutral question, they might start thinking about something that's upsetting for them.
Good point. So, you know, we all know that we can say, thank you for your service. But what if the vet is someone you're closer to and you do want to go deeper, you want to show interest and you want to show concern. But then, as you pointed out, for some of these veterans, it goes places they don't want to go. So, you know, what can or should you say or ask without digging in, and particularly if someone's dealing with post-traumatic stress?
Yeah, I think you can say thank you for your service, but that in of itself is actually a pretty complex issue. For some veterans, it feels like when you're saying thank you for your service, they volunteered, this is the job they trained for, they're part of a larger team. And so being singled out by someone to say thank you for doing your job kind of feels awkward. They might not know what to say. I also think in a deeper level that when someone says thank you for your service, veterans are aware of their friends, people they served with, other veterans who have made extremely costly sacrifices, and sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. And so in a way, being thank you for their service, they're thinking about these people that in their minds deserve that more, and that can be a very emotional experience for them.
What should we say instead?
You know, that's a good question. And I think in some ways, if people got to know veterans, they might be able to ask that question. Instead of kind of looking at them as a uniform and a public figure, I would say get to know them as a person first and someone who served as part of who they are. Ask them questions about what they do for fun or what they do or why they're taking the class that you're in, just to get to know them instead of asking questions about their service. If you do want to ask questions about their service, I think there's questions you can ask that veterans would feel comfortable answering.
Like, such as?
Why did you join? What are some of the proudest things that you did while you were in? What are the things that you most enjoyed while you were in? Veterans and the camaraderie that they have is impressive, and they love to talk about their friends and the fun things that they have done with their friends. So ask them who their friends were and what are some of the things that they did, where they lived, what they did in the military. But don't ask them questions like, did you kill anybody? Did you see dead bodies? Did any of your friends die? Was it horrible over there? And I think it's actually very common that veterans experience that. And that goes back to that idea of kind of awkwardness that comes about. And I think some of that is just also the conception and prejudices and perception that people have about combat and combat veterans. And if you haven't interacted with them, then your experience is kind of these newsreels and news bites.
Hollywood movies,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so when you're asking questions, don't ask questions in that voyeuristic way of
like, ooh, was it like we saw in American Sniper?
Exactly. Yeah. In a way to be entertained. These are people's real lives. And when you ask questions like that, there's real memories in there for them. And those memories are, even if they're not traumatic, it can be emotionally charged and painful. The biggest takeaway would be respect the level of the relationship you have with someone. If you wouldn't ask the same question of someone who was not a veteran, ask them the most distressing day of your life, tell me about that, then don't ask a veteran that question if you don't have that relationship with them.
I'm talking with Erin Smith, who's a psychologist with the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, on how we talk to our vets. Erin, I'm wondering, because I know at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, you're working with generations of vets. And I'm wondering, are there generational differences that you've seen? And by that, I mean, do the post-9/11 vets have a different set of sensibilities or concerns than, say, Gulf War vets or Vietnam or even further back, Korea or World War II.
Generational differences, I think there's differences because they're at different stages in their lives and their combat is different between Vietnam and World War II and now. And I think one of the things that is happening now in the current conflicts is soldiers and service members are surviving incidences they wouldn't survive in previous combat.
I understand. Is that what you're saying? A wound or an injury that would have left you bleeding out and dying on Omaha Beach, you're medevaced, you're in a hospital and you're home with a whole lifetime of challenges that you have to overcome.
Yes. Yes. I think that's one of the major differences. You might have died before and now you survive that. I think technology is an interesting issue to also look at. And I can speak to my personal experience with that. My sister was deployed early into Iraq, and my brother has deployed twice to Afghanistan. And I've had friends and loved ones deploy. My brother's experience of deploying was different than my sister's. We would get letters, postcards, very, very rare phone calls. Whereas my brother, because he deployed later to Afghanistan, we had email, we had Skype, we had the ability to talk to him. And I think that introduces things. So when you think about the stresses of being in a combat situation and then add onto that the ability to be connected with your family members at home and
looking at them on a screen while you're Skyping.
Yes. And to know that there's problems with the kids not doing their homework or that your wife is or your boyfriend or your husband, they're feeling lonely and they're kind of needing something from you and pulling for that. I think it adds to the demands that veterans can experience. So I think that might be a generational difference.
So what I'm hearing, just to kind of focus down, drill down on the do's and the don'ts as we talk with our post 9/11 combat vets, is don't look at the uniform, isn't it? Don't think of the uniform and don't think of where they've been, but just take it as a person, and then what happens.
Yeah, and the conversation. I think there's a couple of other ones that I would highly recommend. Listen. Just listen to what they're willing to share and respect what they're willing to share. Don't prod, don't push. Let them share. Much more likely if there's someone that you care about to share if you listen. And don't talk politics because the political decisions that are made have very personal impact on these people's lives and the lives of the people that they served with and they care about. And so people can talk about politics in a very abstract way. And it feeds the conception, I think, that veterans have that civilians don't really understand what's going on. You know, civilians and veterans both have conceptions and biases that feed the awkwardness. There is a conception that all veterans who go into combat come back with PTSD, and that's not true. When you look at the numbers, it's really 11 to 30% with returning veterans kind of falling somewhere into the middle of that spread. That perception is not helpful because it perceives these people as damaged, sometimes kind of unstable, and that's not true. And so if people have that conception of combat veterans in their mind and then they try to interact with someone, they're going to be awkward because that's how they think about that person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great, great food for thought as we encounter more and more returning combat vets post 9/11. Aaron Smith is a psychologist with the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System and chief of the Post-Traumatic Stress Clinic. Aaron, thank you for your insights.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And tomorrow, as our series Beyond the Battlefield continues, we talk with a Detroit group trying to create a community space for returning vets to live and to work. That's tomorrow on Stateside.